from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who's here to make you feel safe, let you know you're seen, to do his best to keep growing and improving. But for now, the way I do that is by being myself, and I'm a little bit odd. And I'll be honest, I space a little bit too. Hopefully I'll stay focused during this intro, but if you've ever felt a little bit odd, a little bit different, you might be in the right place because I'm comfortable. Like, it took me a while to embrace that fact and really use it in a powerful way to go off topic and never get to the point. And if I'm already not making sense, well, it's time. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways we're able to do this for you twice a week. Hey, everybody, before we get to the episode here, this episode was recorded a little while ago, and I just wanted to let you know that I'm here to create a safe place. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm doing the best job I can, but I'm here to create a safe place for you, and that means that Black Lives Matter. So if you're looking for support for yourself or to support the Black members of our community, you could find resources and links in the show notes. Thanks so much. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Hey, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. One part of the podcast that actually interrupts your sleep so I can bring you a good night's sleep. It's part of the podcast where we talk about the listeners and thank them who supported the sponsors so I can be here for you on a regular basis. And oh boy, is Margie breathing easy. She supported Air Doctor, got her huge discount from Air Doctor. And again, if you support Air Doctor, let me know this week, which is like the second or third week of August, I don't even know, but because that's when they're running their spots, and it's a really amazing air purifier. And again, it really, when I believe in a product, I really want to have a long-term relationship with the sponsor. And what they do is they look at how many people responded to their spot, how many people are happy they're sponsoring the show. So let them know when you support them, let me know. And I can try to thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, whether it's Air Doctor or KiwiCo or Helix, let me know so I can thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need. If you need some help with your self-care, with your mental health, use the resources that are in the show notes. Crisis Text Line is a great place to start. You could text, or you can use Facebook Messenger, or you could get them on Facebook. And then I also want you to support the Black members of our community, because Black Lives Matter. So there's resources to get started and being a part of positive change in the show notes as well. And then the third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support. And as someone who is a librarian who has worked with incarcerated adults, it's really important to me to support the Bail Project, because I can see the inequities in the system firsthand. I've been there, and the disparities. And so it's really important to me, especially something like this that's a revolving bail fund, so your money gets used over and over and over again. You can find out more at thebailproject.org. That's the Bail Project. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, before we slow it down, can you let me know, a lot of people help out on the show, including you. Who Chris are they?
Posty poster song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. the legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors.
You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. And what do you say? We get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep, trouble remembering? It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. sleep, we do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, a physical sensation, changes in time or temperature, changes in routine, could be things on your mind you're thinking about. That happens to me pretty often. It could be feelings or emotions carrying over from the day or the past or the future. It could be any of those things. It could be physical sensations, whatever's keeping you awake. Or it could be any of those other things. It could be anything. It could be something baffling. But whatever it is, I'm here to take your mind off of that, to keep you company. And the way I'm doing it is, I'm trying to establish or send you this safe place. Or, whether I'm there, I'm nearby, or I'm, whether I'm in the vicinity, I love that word, or I'm not. You just say, Scoot said, I prefer you in a speaker across the room, or placed under my pillow, or maybe I'm right here in your earbuds. So I'm here, and I don't know if you can sense it, but I'm smoothing, I'm patting, and I'm rubbing down this safe place. One of the ways I do it is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I go off time. So that means I go off. So that means creaky, dulcet tones. It means that my voice is a bit different. It's not melodious or catchy. Or you say, well, it's creaky dulcet tones. It's a sound you're aware of. I always use the mourning dove. And I know there's a lot of mourning dove fans out there. But for the most part, and I stand firmly in this place, mourning doves come in and out of my awareness. Like literally, I don't know if this would happen because I'm not a bird. Like I'm a bird. I'm not a birder. I'm a fan of birds, though. But you test this out. Now, not every place in the world probably has a mourning dove. So maybe there's another dove with an interesting sound. I don't think a mourning dove makes a cooing type sound. And it's very distinctive. So maybe you have a common, and I'm not saying you're common mourning doves. I'm using it as a illustrative point, I guess. Like a bird that sounds pretty often, or that you assume, and I'm making an ass out of mourning doves and me as normal. But maybe your area has a bird sound that's pretty common, and it could be. You say, well, but what about all the singing birds are rolling their eyes at me, or giving me the for a bird you could give me the side eye. It's probably pretty. It probably is natural. And you say, okay, enough with the dad jokes about birds, Scoots. Okay, I really like the mourning dove sound. It makes me feel good. But I'm sure that during 99% of my walks, there's a mourning dove sound, and I'm just not, I'm consumed with my own stuff. But every once in a while, I hear it, and it triggers me to be in the moment, or I'm trying to stay in the moment, and I notice it. Now, what was my, I rambled so much, I forgot my point. I guess my point was, send my voice, creaky dulcet tones. But you would never say, so the mourning dove is a soothing thing, but you're not, it isn't like something that's, like some of those tweeting birds, especially when they start early, you could say, okay, enough with the singing. Great, the sun's up, but you're happy. I get it. Or you're mating, whatever it is. Like I'm not in the mood for it. With a mourning dove, you say, oh, there's a mourning dove. Now, I'm sure someone has a diary of when a mourning dove moved in. The mourning dove above, where I sleep or something, that someone wrote a poem or an ode or an anti-ode. And they said, I've learned to loathe the mourning dove. I mourn every time, I mourn my sleep is so lost. So that, but that's not what happens with this podcast. I mean, it does for some people. So creaky dulcet tones are it's so my voice, you see, well, it's kind of memorable and forgettable at the same time. I guess that was my, I could have said it like that, but then I wouldn't have a sleep podcast. Creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders. I guess I don't have to explain that because, you know, I just did an example of it. So if you're new, well, first of all, if you're a regular listener, welcome back. I'm so happy to be here in your ears or nearby, to be here to keep you company. So thank you so much for that. But what was my other point? So I'm glad you're here. Oh, so if you're a new listener, so a few things to know. This podcast does not work for everybody. But for the people it works for, it usually takes two or three tries. So see how it goes is what I would say. Give it a few tries and just see how it goes. That's what most listeners say over the years. They've said, I've probably heard it like hundreds of thousands of times. So give it a few tries, see how it goes. That's the first thing. Now, if you're new, if you're skeptical or doubtful or unsure, that's another thing. That's perfectly natural. That's how most people arrive at this podcast. You see, this is confusing. This person's, I don't even know, is this a sleep podcast or a podcast about, antiodes? And I said, well, no, I don't think I could fill 50 minutes with antiodes. Antiodes, the breath mint for poets that, it's the breath mint that doesn't work. So if there's no poetry in your heart, and you want your breath to reflect that, use antiodes, find them only in Scooter's for sale in Scooter's imagination. Antiodes, you don't say that when you have them. You don't say that, neither does anyone else. Antiodes. When you're feeling good and you want to feel, you know, you're fed up with feeling good, have yourself an antiode. Write yourself an antiode. When you think of the sound of a bird that sounds amazing, when you've tired of bird song, write an antiode. Antiodes, tonight's sponsor. Find them nowhere, but you could imagine, you know, you could imagine it and then find it. So new listeners, sorry. So the show's a bit different. It's meant to kind of be consumed loosely, like if you're listening to Morning Doves. That's not a super active thing, except for maybe some people. So I almost already over-explained it. Just kind of let you see, oh, there it is again. I wonder, I wonder why I don't notice Morning Dove songs all the time. Is it because they're not always singing or I'm not always noticing? Is that a cosmic paradox or just one of my many issues with trying to stay in the moment? So kind of listen to the podcast in that way. Barely listen. That's what a lot of regular listeners do. The other thing is this podcast isn't really here to put you to sleep. It's here to keep you company as you fall asleep. So if you can't sleep, I'm going to be here for an hour. If you need a lot of time, the shows are an hour to give you plenty of time to drift off. But I'm more here to be your boyfriend, your boar bae, your boar cuz, your boar sib, your boar bestie. If you're a surfer, your boar bra. Whatever it is, that's the role I'm applying for. So, yeah, I'm here to just keep you company as you drift off, to take your mind off of stuff. The other thing new listeners usually need to know is structurally what to expect. And this can really get the steam coming out of people's ears, because, oh boy, do they let me hear about it. So I just want to tell you this, and you say, oh, okay, it's been addressed. Or I'll validate, you don't need to email me, I'll just validate your strong feelings if you're still here. But usually those people are already gone. They usually fast forward to 20 minutes and then they listen for a few more minutes and then they go. And it's a legitimate thing. This structure of the show is very different. It starts off with a greeting. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary. Because I want to greet you and let you know this is a place I'm trying to keep and make safe and greet you. And that you're welcome here. Then there's business. That's how we keep the show coming out twice a week on Wednesdays and Sundays, or Sundays and Wednesdays. That's the business part of the show. Then there's the intro. So the business is probably from like minute one to minute six or something or five. I don't know. Then from that 5 or 6 to 20-ish is the intro. Now, the intro is just, it's a big part of the show. It's actually like, 30% of the show or something. It's a part of the method, but it's optional. So some listeners, about 2%, skip ahead to 20 minutes. So it is optional, but, what was I going to say? I already forgot. Like part, this part of the method. Oh, but the intro, the whole idea of the intro is it eases you into bedtime. For a new listener, you say, okay, I get the idea. This doesn't make any sense. That's what takes 2 or 3 tries. Then for the regular listener, they start listening to the show as they're getting ready for bed, as they're preparing for bed, as they're starting the bedtime routine and the wind down routine, or when they get in bed and they're getting comfortable turning out the lights and pressing play. So the intro, at least in my experience of struggling with sleep, is that it takes a while to ease off. I want to give you time to ease off and slowly take you away. Yeah, so that at some point you just stop listening to me. But I want to reassure you that I'll be here. So if you wake up or you can't sleep or you want to run the podcast all night, it'll be here for you. So that's the purpose of the intro, is a long landing strip. Then there's business. Then there'll be the story. Tonight will be our episodically modular serialized series, Odder Things, which you can listen to in any order because we catch you up at the beginning of every episode. And that's about otters and like other friends that live in a swamp together. So, and just them, you know, exploring their story. So it's a nice little thing. All is well. That's what Emma Otter says at the beginning of every episode, or all will be well. So that's the structure of the show. Another thing to know is the reason why I make the show. I mean, not only am I good at going off topic and I have creaky dulcet tones and I have tons of superfluous and pointless meanders. Those come natural to me. But the main reason I make the show is because I've been there. I know how it feels. Tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. I've been through all that. So if I can help, it would be my honor to help. To take your mind off stuff, to keep you company, even if you can't sleep. That's one of the main things I always craved. And it's just hard. Like, even if you have a partner or you have a big family, you know, naturally, a lot of other people are going to be asleep. So I always felt that, like, a little bit of feeling. I just want somebody to be there to say, hey, I'm going to be here to keep you company. Whether you're asleep or awake, I'm here. I'll be talking to you, telling you a story. So that's why I make the show, is one, I know how it feels there in the deep, dark night. The other reason I make the show, and it kind of goes on the flip side of that, is I believe you deserve a good night's sleep, and that the world, your world, and our world will be a much better place if you can be rested, and if you can live a fuller and flourishing life, and being rested is just a part of that, one small step. So if I can help, that would be my honor. It really would be like it's just something that is very worth it to me. So I'm here to help, I guess that's it. Like, give the show a few tries, see how it goes. But I'm really glad you took the time to check this show out. See if it works for you. Give it a few tries. Yes, I'm repetitive. I repeat myself, but I'm here to help. Thanks so much for coming by. I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways we're able to bring this podcast twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12. 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they find out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. All right. Hey, everybody. It's Scoots here. And this is our ongoing episodically modular series, Odder Things. And I'm not actually the host of it. I'm turning things over. Just want to tell you, you could listen to this in any order. Emma Otter is going to be coming up. She'll fill you in on everything that's happened in the series thus far. So if this is your first time listening, don't worry. This is episodically modular. It does have some seriality, but Emma takes the seriality. It's a great, because then you could listen to the earlier episodes like they're prequels. You know you love prequel movies, and I've heard that. And you say, okay, listen to episode 6, and now I want to hear, now I want to go back. Because even books now, especially YA, the second or the third book is the prequel. Because you say, well, I really want to know, how did Tefe and Dari become, you say, okay, go ahead, listen to episode 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 after this. So this, without further ado, this is archived audio I discovered from Emma Otter. Hey, everyone, this is Emma Otter here. Thanks for giving me a moment of your time. I'm here to tell you the story of my town, my friends, and my community, and some odd things that happened to us. So I'm Emma Otter. I live in a community, a swamp-based community. And some of you might say, well, what's a swamp-based community like? And I'd say, well, what's your community like? Are you in a riparian community? A forest community, a wetlands community. You'd say, okay, well, maybe you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you could do a little research and say, what is it like? But I'll kind of give you the overview. We live in a swamp. Some of swamps are underwater and some aren't. And we live in a greater swamp region, a swamp within a swamp region in a town that exists within the swamp. And just like you listening, we're all highly intelligent beings, and we have our own consciousness, but we live together in community like individuals within a community that supports one another. So that's one thing to know. So the swamp is it's a greater swamp area. So there's bigger towns and cities within the greater swamp community. And it stretches in three directions very far. But we just happen to be very close to the one direction. The swamp does not stretch any further beyond, which we call the place beyond the swamp, which is actually seems like another swamp. We don't really venture beyond it. It's bisected by a road rising up above the swamp. I think they call it like some kind of duct, a viaduct or something like that. But it's a road. On the road travel occasionally strange giant vehicles with no one driving them. But that's worked into our childhood myths. So it's just a strange thing we avoid, and we have cognitive dissonance. So we just learn to say, just don't go near the road or on the road. Because why would you go on a road where at unpredictable times strange driverless vehicles drive by? And just, you know, now I know more than I knew when I was a total child. So, you know, I would have thought they were their own beings or something. You know, we had other myths, and a lot of our myths are based, for my friends and I, on the game Bards and Big Bunnies, a role-playing game. But beyond the road is what's called a visitor center and a bog walk. And then beyond that, I have no idea. There is one tunnel under the road. It is a secure tunnel. And, you know, as kids, we grow up and we always wonder, we dare one another to go in the tunnel. But you don't do it, especially because there's a gate there. So I live in a house with my parents, my youngest sibling, and my older brother, Tefe, who were otters. Tefe considers himself the handsomest otter in town. And just rolling my eyes. So that's who I live with. My brother, Tefe, is in high school. I'm in middle school. I have, originally I had three best friends, now I have four best friends, if any, you know, I have my best friend, top of the, but, you know, really, who says all, why does it have to be there's no bestest friend, it's just best friend. So maybe I've created space to have more than one best friend, or maybe my secret best friend that's listening in their heart, they say, well, I know I'm Emma's best friend. And maybe you, dear listener, feel like a close, nearly, or a best friend of mine, and that's great. But my actual friends are Vaughn, who I also call V, and he's a little bit silly, a little bit goofy, very intelligent, but known to be wacky, an otter being in his own way, just like all of us here. Then my friend Elijah, we call him LJ. And Elijah is kind of our most principled friend. Elijah believes in the truth, believes in being honest. Elijah probably has a little bit more courage than the rest of us. I'd say our leader, but, you know, then I'm telling the story, so I'd say, okay, maybe we're all leaders. Elijah's probably the most grounded one of us, too. We all play role-playing games, so you see, with a sense of imagination. My other friend is Willow, Willow's from a family that's an important part of this story. So Willow lives with her mom, Frances, and her sister, Dari, and they're beavers, and they live together, the three of them. So that was what our life was like. I had my family, I had my friends, I went to middle school, lived in my town, played Bards and Bunnies on the weekends or summer breaks. And it was a pretty happy life. And then something odd happened. Something odder happened. And that was that someone arrived. Well, okay, a couple things happened. We played a game of Bards and Big Bunnies. Vaughn, Willow, and LJ left. And on the way home, Willow took a path less taken. And quickly to summarize, we thought when she took that path less taken, she took a, she met like with an agent or something and then became a star, recorded an album, making fun of our town, and moved away to a big city like River Bottom or something. That's where her dad, Lenny, lived. So we were all very upset because the album was discovered. Most of the songs were making fun of us in our town. And it was a bit embarrassing, but some of us suspected. Well, we also suspected because we also, on the night Willow moved away, we looked for Willow, or the night after, because we said, Willow, where are you? We didn't know at the time. We hadn't found the album. And that's where we met a character, a duck-billed beaver named Billy, who has powers, like magic powers, through throat singing. Or bill singing. I don't know if she's singing in her bill or her throat. Like kind of like Professor X or something. She can move things with the mind. She can cause people to do stuff. All those kind of things. Billy also revealed to us that she thought she might be able to help us find, or she knew that Willow, yeah, that's what it was. She knew Willow was somewhere else, somewhere called the Size Down. And we said, is that like the tower? Like a Size Down is like another world, like inside of a tower, maybe a tower, like a Wizard's Tower, or the tower from the Southern Swamp trilogy that goes down and up and is organic and also has powers. So we're not 100% sure, but we know Willow is in a place like that, and she did not move away and record an album. And so we're dedicated to finding her, and we had just talked to our professor about how we would do that at the Community Resource Festival. Meanwhile, Willow's mom, Dari, or Willow's sister Dari, Willow's mom, Frances, was obviously like, my daughter moved away without telling me and recorded an album and started a career. Well, that's very disappointing, and it doesn't seem like her character. And then she didn't believe it, and she started communicating with Willow through wind chimes, where Willow was communicating with her by pop song through wind chimes. And no one believed her, obviously. They said, your daughter that moved away is communicating with you through wind chimes. Also, Frances was suspecting she was seeing a big bunny outside her windows, and maybe a bunny with goose or something, goose feathers. And that was connected to Willow as well, a giant bunny. And because a lot of kids play bards and big bunnies, including Willow, people said, okay, that's interesting too. Willow's ex, Lenny, had come to help, but Lenny's kind of no good. I'll just tell you the truth, though he's trying to help right now. So that's like where Frances was. Wait a second, I don't believe this, but everybody's telling me my daughter did head out to start a career. That's a little bit of a tough thing to deal with. Now, her daughter, Dari, when Willow first moved away, Dari's instinct was to convince my brother Tefe to borrow my uncle's car so they could drive out to Lenny's house in River Bottom and see if Willow was there. Their friend Babs came with them. Willow was not at Lenny's house. When Dari left Lenny's house, she found Tefe, my brother, and Babs, Dari's best friend. They were K-A-S-S-I-N-G-ing. And then they drove, and then Babs went for a walk. But again, very similar to Willow, where they said, did she really go for a walk? Because this doesn't make any sense. And since then, Dari's been convinced, like people again have said, well, maybe Babs just moved away to the big city too. But Dari's been convinced that that's not the case. And eventually her and Tefe found that, yeah, there's something else beyond the swamp, with a giant bunny print and the sounds and singing involved in this somehow. One other person we have to check in really quickly is Bold Bullfrog, Leon. but goes by Bull. He's the head of our community resource department and, you know, helping mitigate anything, disagreements, and solve problems. That's Bull's job. And Bull at first was just trying to say, okay, well, it looks like Willow moved away. I'm sorry, Francis. I think Francis and Bull at one point were dating long, long, long time ago. And trying to solve, like, so Bull was just doing Bull's job. But eventually Bull said, something strange is here. There's too many things. And Bull discovered, one, the album was not real. Francis, or Willow, my friend, sorry, Willow, the album was not real. And it was never recorded. It was a fake. It was just an auto-tuned performance from a talent show. And that the place beyond the swamp, the visitor center, was actually, Bull knew that it was part of a larger community resource effort, maybe an offensive community resource effort by the greater area swamp authorities. But they said, there's nothing to see here, no Willow, don't know what you're talking about. But Bull didn't believe that. Bull eventually snuck in there and saw that something was going on, something with portals, like dorm rooms, cafeterias. And right as Bull had made the discovery, Bull was sung a frog lullaby to go to sleep. And so that's kind of where we start. But I just also want to tell you that, don't worry, all will be well. So I always want to remind you of that. Is that one thing to remember in this story is that all will be well. And without further ado, is our Hollywood announcer who starts these shows out, the most famous person in our town, Mr. Antonio Banderas. Ladies and gentlemen, the boys, the girls, the friends beyond the binary, otters, beavers, muskrats, porcupines, foxes, turtles, frogs, even the weasels. It's time for another episode of Otter Things. Splish, splash. Thank you, Mr. Banderas. This is Otter Things, and I'm Emma Otter. And I guess, like, when we last left off, when in our story, we had fallen asleep kind of talking to our Professor Moose, and Professor Moose had put us to sleep with some meandering analogy about the Southern Swamp Trilogy, and organic beings that are also buildings, and saying, well, that's like a tree that grows up, it grows down. And also, how would we find something like that? Resonance or vibrations. I don't know. But we had fallen asleep, and then we had woken up and decided to go home and leave the fair, even though the fair, the community resource fair, which is was really fun and seemed like it was fun, we wanted to kind of go back to my house and figure out how we're going to track Willow down. And we did that. We had like a sleepover. First we said, okay, we're already asleep, but let's go home and go back to sleep to my house, and then we'll get up the next day. Now, meanwhile, also the next day, it was morning everywhere where we live, because, you know, we're all in the same time area. And Lenny had been staying at Francis and Dari's house, and Lenny was sleeping on the couch. And Lenny woke up and said, well, I need to get myself in a shower and maybe a swamp swim, and who knows. And meanwhile, Frances was cleaning up, and she found that, you know, Lenny, one of Lenny's other qualities, Lenny doesn't pick up after himself. And so Frances was cleaning up after Lenny, because Lenny left his fancy leather jacket lying around. And he'd also been in Willow's room at different points. I mean, the door was open, and, you know, all the he had taken down some of the wind chimes, but then Francis said, don't take down the wind chimes. I like them. They make me comforted. He had tried to fix, anyway, he'd done a lot of stuff, but nothing really useful. But Francis has stuck out in his mind that that Lenny had been in Willow's room. And when she picked up his jacket, you know, when you pick up a jacket off of a couch, sometimes you shake it out just to get any dust or fur off it. And something floated out of Lenny's pocket and floated to the ground. And you might know the kind of floating that a napkin does. And Francis knew it was a napkin. And at first she said, just like Lenny, put a dirty napkin in his pocket instead of doing something with it. But as she hung his jacket up, she went to reach down to pick up the napkin, and she saw that there was crayon drawings on it or writing. And as she unfolded the napkin, she saw, and it triggered a memory in her of a different time when Francis, Lenny, and Willow were all out eating lunch together. And this was when Willow loved to sing. Willow always loved to sing, just like we all do. And Lenny had been encouraging Willow. And Francis had gone off to talk to some of the neighbors that were eating nearby. And she saw, Lenny and Willow writing in crayon on a napkin. And she had looked, and she kind of smiled. She said, oh, what a nice moment. You know, rare moment for my daughter and Lenny to share, where they both seemed happy, and they seemed to be in serious conversation. And when she went back, she said, oh, what are you two working on? And Willow looked at her mother with great pride, and she said, well, we're working, you know, when I become a music star, this will be my big moment. This will be when, I'll need an agent, and Dad's going to be my agent. So we're working on a contract. And Francis said, oh, yeah, you will. That's great to start planning for the future. But part of her mindset, I think, is this a serious discussion? But it was written out. And she said, look at the deal Dad made me, only 12%. And she said, well, don't usually agents take 10%? She said, yeah, well, Dad's going to, she said, we're just imagining, Mom, we're just playing. And Lenny said, yeah, we're just playing. And Willow had always kept that in her room, but it totally left Francis's mind. And she said, well, that's just strange that Lenny has that in his pocket. But as she was kind of folding the napkin back up and putting it in Lenny's jacket, he came out. He said, what are you doing with my jacket? And she said, oh, I found, she goes, what are you doing with this napkin contract from when Willow was little? And he said, oh, I found it in her room. And Frances said, well, Willow sighed. She goes, what are you doing with this? So it's weird. And he goes, oh, I wanted to see if we both signed it. And she goes, oh, you did. Because she had looked and it said Willow and Leonard or whatever. And she said, you're not trying. And he said, listen, if Willow's really signed these albums and made these albums, he goes, think about, we deserve some of it. We supported her career. And Francis said, we supported her career. She's a kid, one. And we is a very loose usage of we. And Lenny said, come on, Francis, why don't you think about Dory? And he goes, we could use the money so Dory could go to school. And you could use it to fix up the house and stuff, a percentage of it, 2% or so. And then I'll take the other 10% and invest it in... And Francis narrowed her eyes and looked at Lenny and said, so this is really why you're here. You're not here to help. You're here to capitalize on. And then she said, you need to leave right now. And he said, wait a second. And she ripped up the contract And Lenny's steam came out his ears, and she said, please leave my home, never to return. And she sent Lenny on his way, and Lenny stomped out of the house, frowny-faced. And he had strong words for Francis, but Francis wasn't hearing them because they weren't the truth. Though he did try to, heighten Francis's concern that Willow actually did record an album and move away. And he was successful at that, she thought. The only reason he wants to capitalize on this is because it really happened. Willow really did move away, start a career without telling me, and record an album. Now, meanwhile, in the morning, Bull woke up. And when we last saw Bull, he was in the lab below the visitor center. And he woke up on his couch, super sweaty, with a bunch of bog water nearby, one of those famous things he drank too much sometimes of. And he said, what in the heck? Where have I been? Why am I so sweaty? It's like I'm can barely breathe out my skin. I said, where was I? And he said, wait a second, did I like have too much bog water last night? But he knew that he said, well, the last thing I recall was being at that below the visitor center. And he kind of started to pace around and he stuck out his tongue and it didn't look like a normal frog tongue. And then there was a knock at his door, and it was two of the other resource staff, social workers that work with the Community Resource Department. And they said, hey, Leon, why aren't you at work? Why weren't you at the community? You weren't even at the community fair. You missed the entire community fair. You're supposed to, and he said, oh, yeah, I'm under the weather. I'll have to submit I'll draw my own acorn later. I'm just not feeling great. And they said, are you okay? And he said, well, I'm under the weather. Look at my tongue. And they said, oh boy, your tongue does look like non-optimal. And he said, well, what do you want? And they said, well, we do like a couple things. The owner of the music store, there's a line in front of the music store, people waiting to buy, because this is a launch day of a bunch of albums, and the owner of the music store didn't show up, and there was a lot of people trying to get stuff, so eventually we let ourselves in, and there was a letter from the music store owner saying they took a job with that same record company for distribution or something, and that record store was closed and had been sold to another company, some company with a bunch of letters and numbers at the end of it. So people were not happy because they said, where are we going to get our records? And also we wondered, what are we going to do? Like, who's going to take over? And he said, that's a prime downtown piece of real estate. And Leon said, okay, what else? And they said, also, funniest thing, Babs's parents heard from Babs. It was only a voicemail, but she said she's with a record company, and she had moved away. She's actually on tour, international tour. I don't even know what that means. But she's very happy, and she said to check their bank account. She'd already deposited a bunch of money into her parents' bank account, and that they shouldn't be concerned, and that she would be in touch, maybe relocate them to live with her once she had, like, a lake house. Like, she's moving out of the swamp to a lake or something, Leon. And he said, which record company? And they said, the same record company as Willow. Doesn't that make perfect sense? They're recruiting, they found our town to be a hotbed of talent or something. And he said, okay, interesting. And then they said, were you going to come into the office? And he said, no, I got to go. Didn't you see my tongue? I got to go soak my tongue or something. Because I can barely breathe, I'm breathing through my mouth and not my skin, so I'll see you later. And they said, okay, thanks, Leon. And then they got to the car. They said, man, he's acting odd. And they go, yeah, I don't know what's up with him. It's odd. How do you miss a community resource fair when you're the community resource officer? They said, well, it's a good thing our town's resilient. So we didn't really, that was great fair. And they said, oh, yeah, did you go on the, remember when we raced each other on the super slide? They said, oh, boy, was that fun. Now, while that was going on, we were waking up in my sleepover at my house. And we were having a conference to say, okay, we got to track down Willow. We said, Billy, do you know anything about this tower, about a size down? Like you kind of said, but Billy was really quiet. We said, like, what about this place? Like, how do we find it? And Billy said, I don't know. And we said, well, we got to track it down. If it's a tower and it's, and then, Vaughn said, well, what about, he goes, okay. He goes, sympathetic vibrations. And we said, oh, sympathetic vibrations, right, totally. He said, resonance. And we said, okay. And he said, get out your tuning forks, because we all have tuning forks, or some people have different things so they can tune their, like, so you can tune your instrument or your voice. But most of us have tuning forks because they always work and they make good keychains. And you can kind of cut. And anyway, so we all had it. And he said, put your tuning forks down in front of me. And he said, okay, now hold them in your hand, in your right hand. Everyone hold your tuning fork. And we said, okay, nothing's happening. And he said, you can't visually see a tuning fork moving. And he said, hold them near one another. And he said, that's what a sympathetic vibration is. But we said, well, what are they even vibrating? He said, yeah, hold them to your ear. And then everybody sing the tune. And we all sang the tone we were hearing, barely detectable, on our tuning forks. And we said, all of them are making the same sound. And he said, yeah, and there's no vibration. He goes, we didn't, none of us hit our thing to start vibrating. And we said, okay. And there was like a long pause like that. Okay, Vaughn. And he said, there has to be a strong vibration coming from somewhere to vibrate these. They just can't vibrate on, you can't have a sympathetic vibration without a vibration to sympathize with. And we said, okay. And then we all looked at Billy and we said, do you know, like, and we realized it wasn't Billy causing the sympathetic vibration. And he said, this is coming from the tower. And we said, so, and he goes, we have to find a way to be guided by, he goes, we have to find a way to determine the strength. He goes, remember that one project where we made electromagnetic tuning forks? We said, oh, yeah, with the lantern batteries. Remember, we thought we could use them to, he goes, we thought we could make them into, we could use it to, you know, crack glass and speed up our bikes or stop the bullies. But it just ended up as a more powerful tuning fork. He goes, we could use those and we could see that will monitor the strength and we could just try to find the tower through that. And we said, holy cow, that is a brilliant idea. Now, meanwhile, back at Leon's house, after the other community resources officers had left, first thing Leon did, because Leon wasn't 100%, was call his old job. They said, Cafe Noir Chardonnay. And he said, yeah, hi, I'm just calling to see who's performing tonight. And they said, who's performing tonight? Well, hold on. What show? Because we have three shows booked tonight. And a 7, a 10, and an after midnight show. Which show? And he said, the person on the phone said, Leon the Legend? Is that you? Is that you? Like, are you still... What happened? And then Leon hung up the phone and he sighed. But then he paused as he hung up the phone, and then he started taking his phone apart, wondering, remembering back at the whole lab below the visitor center. And he realized that they were probably listening in to him somehow. So he started searching his house for listening devices. And he actually thought about when he was at the school, because they had the giant sonic ear. So it was a giant saucer collecting. So he started going through all his plates and bowls, you know, lamps, anything saucer shaped that could collect sounds. And he's tearing his place apart. And then when he thought he had given up pretty much, and he sighed, he realized that there was one cabinet that he did, the top two shelves of the furthest cabinet, you know, the cabinet everybody has that you can barely access anyway. And up there was his great grandmama's tea set, that he'd never used because it was like fancy tea and fancy saucers. Maybe once when he took a cat home, he gave it a saucer of milk, but he never put that saucer back anyway. And he started digging through there. And of course, at the back of the thing, he found a little tube that went out from like, it was like using the vibrations to listen in on him from the tea set, which is a very fine, you know, great idea. But he didn't disturb it. He just kind of looked at it and said, okay, you think I'll have myself a glass of tea, if, you know, clear my head. What a dream I had last night. So unrealistic. It couldn't possibly have happened. 100% my imagination. No more bog water for me. And then he turned on his radio. He said, I'm just going to sit here and lie around and listen to the radio all day long. Listen to the old sports casting and talk and stuff. And then he turned on another radio in his bedroom, one on the talk and stuff and one on the sports stuff. And then he headed out. He was headed in the direction of Francis's house. And he drove all the way over to Francis's house, and Francis, he knocked on the door, and Francis was already like in a not great mood because of everything that had happened with Lenny, and she thought it was Lenny knocking on the door again. And when she opened the door, Leon held up his finger like shushy, shushy, shushy poo. And like in his head, he said this, like, your house is full of wind chimes, and they could be listening in for any of the wind chimes because those probably collect sound really well. And first he started looking around through all her. She said, what are you doing? He said, shush, shush, shush. He said, oh, boy, he made a fake voice. So it's me, Lenny, again, harumphity, harumph, don't I know everything? You know, he's just doing his Lenny imitation, and she was kind of going along with it. Don't you think Willow, he knew, he had a different take, but he was like, don't you think Willow should have, like, you'd be direct depositing her paychecks into my account for management? And she goes, oh, boy, Lenny, you're a genius. I'm so sorry I kicked you out earlier. So they played along like that while he looked. And then eventually he gave up. He said, oh, boy. And then he was thinking, and then he was saying, well, like, they were trying to think. And then they figured out that they could turn on all of the fans in Francis's house, which would make the wind chimes go. And she said, what are you doing? I'm waiting for Willow to talk to me through the wind chimes. And he goes, you're right about Willow. Stand by a wind chime and a fan in between the two. He goes, no. He goes, by the fans. He goes, not behind the fan or in front of the fan, to the side of the fan near wind chime. And we'll have a conversation. And she goes, why? And he goes, well, I'm afraid the wind will blow. Otherwise, he goes, yeah. He goes, this is the way our, we won't be. He goes, they're listening. The place below the visitor center. And she goes, place below the visitor center. And he goes, the album was a fake, Francis. The whole thing's a fake. There's no record company. There's no album. You were right. Something strange, something odd is happening. And he goes, I'm sorry. And she goes, well, thank goodness. My mother's instinct was correct. And she goes, what is this? And he goes, beyond the swamp, there's a visitor center. It's part of, he goes, it's cover. He goes, there's a greater community resource thing for the greater swamp area. And he goes, instead of community resources, they have a more stricter view of defending the community against invasive things or whatever. And he goes, but he goes, they haven't quite gained traction, you know, to take over our departments and you know, move away from a community-based resource-sharing model. And she goes, I don't understand. And he goes, oh, well, that's, he goes, never mind. He goes, so below the visitor center, he goes, it's an entire operation, cafeteria, offices, computer stuff, mops and brew. And she goes, okay. And he goes, dorm rooms, kids' dorm rooms. And she goes, kids' rooms? And he goes, yeah. And then he was talking about stuff he saw and the music and the posters and stuff. And she goes, well, that doesn't sound like Willow at all. None of that sounds like Willow. And he goes, well, that's weird. He goes, that's weird. And she goes, it's odd. So she goes, there's kids down there? And he goes, well, I didn't see any kids, just signs of kids. And she goes, but no sign of anything that would be distinctively Willow's. And she goes, what do you think the kids were doing down there? He goes, I got no clue. He goes, I did read all these strange articles. You know, the rumors about humans and stuff. And powers and the power of music. And she goes, like in Bards and Big Bunnies? He goes, what's that? And she goes, the game all the kids in our community play. And some parents believe that it leads kids to make poor choices, even though it doesn't. It actually boosts their self-esteem and resiliency and imagination. And he goes, what? And she goes, it's the game the kids play. And music has magical powers. And he goes, well, he goes, I don't know. He goes, but there's this one. He goes, what if the whole time? He goes, I've been trying to find Willow, but instead I've been looking for somebody else. Francis said, okay. And he said, let's go to the library, do some more research, and figure this out. And she says, okay. Now, while that was happening, we had headed out with the electromagnetic tuning forks and we were out there in what we call dark and wood, looking, following the tuning forks. We were 2x2, so Vaughn and LJ had one, and Billy and I had one. And Vaughn and LJ, you know, again, LJ is saying, don't you think something's going on with that duck-billed beaver? And Vaughn said, I don't know, and said, don't it's acting extra odd. They're acting extra odd. And Vaughn said, I suppose. Now, meanwhile, when I was walking with Billy said, can we go back to your house? I need a snack. And they said, well, we brought some snacks. Why don't you have a snack? She said, well, I'd prefer a snack, a different snack. And also a nap. I think I need a nap. And I said, well, we got to keep going right now, Billy. I understand it, but just try to, like, do a walking meditation or something and rest that way. And then Billy drifted away, but it didn't stick out to me because I said, do a walking meditation. And I started to kind of do one. And I think Billy was singing, like, a little bit. Meanwhile, Billy was going into like a look back, a flashback, they say, to another time with Max, Dr. Max, when she lived there. And Dr. Max was they were in the lab and or like a room. And Dr. Max was saying, okay, so you're going to sing this song, and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to read what you see. And Billy said, read what I see. And Dr. Max said, yeah, close your eyes and walk. You're going to keep walking and read what you see. And here's the song. I'm going to play it a few times, and then you start singing and close your eyes and sing along. And the song was a song about signs, everywhere there being signs, not good for always good for the scenery. And a lot of the signs weren't positive. But in this case, they all had either numbers or letters as Billy started just walking and singing the sign. Some signs were shaped like shields, and some signs were triangles. Some signs were octagons. And then Dr. Max said, now read the signs. And so Billy said, yeah, like A1A. And Dr. Max said, good, good, good. And they write him down. She said, 60, 29, 17, stop. And Dr. Max said, okay, give you the numbers and letters. 528. Billy would see the signs and just say the numbers. 4, 192, 417. But meanwhile, as we were walking, we eventually got back to like the, behind the transfer station where they had found Willow's albums. And LJ said, wait a second, we're back at the transfer station. I thought we were headed towards, there's no tower here. There's not even barely any trees here. This can't be the right place. And then we said, get out the tuning forks and the electromagnetic tuning forks and just see, how did we get so lost? And they said, okay, try the batteries. And then they said, get out the battery tester. And then we realized that like, they were all working. But yeah, they were showing the stronger, we were like almost where they should be. And then LG said, wait a second. And he pointed one of them right at Billy. And it shot up to full power. And he said, you're throat singing. I can hear you throat singing now. And he said, you led us here to the transfer station. Like, you're leading us astray. What exactly are you doing? Like, why are you making us lost? And at first, Billy said, no, I didn't. And then I kind of took Billy's side. I said, hey, like, LJ, no, we're just, like, calm down. You're just it's just high stakes. And then we had strong discussion about it. So strong that I said, do you want to have a dance-off? And then LJ said, do you want to have a dance-off? But then Billy didn't know what a dance-off was. So then Billy started singing the song Impulsive, like with Billy's powers. So then LJ started acting impulsively, which mostly meant running around and then running away. And then we said, what did you do? You just made him run off without, like, he even forgot his tuning fork. And like I said, I can't believe, and I said, you did lead us here. What were you doing? Why are you making my friend act impulsively? Like, you're not supposed to use your powers against us. And I said, what are you such an oddball for? Which I greatly regret at this time. And then Billy ran off. And as Billy ran off, Billy was having another memory back, another flashback to yet another time. When Billy was like had his second time, they said, okay, at the place with Dr. Max, they said, okay, that really worked well. Dr. Max had given Billy a stuffed animal, even said that went so good. Now we want you to look at some bigger signs. And he even showed Billy this map. And he said, I want you to kind of try to follow these signs. I want you to look for these ones, these numbers and these shapes, and follow them, and then tell us what you see, the other signs that you might see, even handwritten signs or anything you see. And so Billy started, they actually like put Billy in this waterbed, which is like a real waterbed. And I don't know, that's like something from the 70s and 80s, where you feel like you're floating. And this waterbed was blue like a cloud. And they even got a nice weighted blanket for Billy to have. And they said, just float on the waterbed and picture the signs and sing the song and tell us what you see. And actually, like at this point, Billy even had this extra power. Wouldn't learn this so many conversations with Billy that Billy didn't have to speak at this point. Like Billy could transfer it into a TV, the images that Billy was seeing, just the sign images, not everything. And so Billy started singing and floating on the waterbed and walking. And at first it was the signs they had told Billy. Even a couple times Billy took wrong turns and it said U-turn or whatever, no passing zone, breakout, breakdown lane. But then they say, okay, no, look for this number. But as Billy was going, more signs started increasing, and Billy started seeing these bigger billboards, is what we call them. We don't have a lot of them because they're not that great to look at, but wherever Billy was, there was a lot of these, and Billy said, you know, save money. Have you ever had a flat tire? Call this number. Do you need a place where there's 1,000 t-shirts? 1,000 t-shirts today. Visit the sands of Sandy Shores Beach. As Billy went along, then Billy saw like further down, like and was broadcasting those billboards, but Billy saw like about 10 signs down this one blinking reddish light. And it was like blinking, drawing Billy. And then Billy kind of was reading the other signs, you know. Have you ever had a day to go? Have you want to make a go-kart? Go here, you know. Do you want the largest Ferris wheel? But meanwhile, Billy saw this blinking. And then she saw this tower. This was a billboard, but it was a three-dimensional billboard with a tower, and Billy didn't broadcast this one just yet because Billy had gone into another level of zone, and it was a tower going up off the billboard, like three times the size of the billboard, this real-looking tower, and it was a wizard's tower, and that's what it said. It said experience something would have fallen off the wizard's tower of sorcery, I would think it was called. I call it the wizard's tower. And at the top of the tower, there's a window, and that's where the light was blinking, like a blinking candle. It was just, apparently, I guess it was solar powered. It said, can you pass the sorcerer? Can you become a sorcerer? Again, there's letters and words missing, but pass the tests. What awaits you? Wonder, something, something not great. Journey into the Tower of Sorcery. And it had these, like, people smiling, dressed like wizards, kind of. But still the light blinked. And that's really what Billy didn't know. It was a solar-powered light. And said, what is that light? Can you get in that tower? And so Billy walked up to the billboard, and there was a ladder going up the, and then Billy like noticed that the tower actually extended down into the earth next to like on the backside of the billboard. The tower all the way went down into the earth. And Billy said, well, that's in it. So magic. That was another thing that caught Billy's eye. And Billy had like a flashback within a flashback to getting a magic kit one time from Dr. Max with like a dancing rope or something. And cups were make balls disappear. And so Billy like was like, I got to find out if this light is magic. And so Billy climbed up the tower, the billboard, and then was looking for a way to get into the tower. And found this door, and then there was a spiral staircase going up the tower. Now, this normally in the past would have been to service the light, but the tower had kind of changed with time and maybe something else. So the tower was a little bit more like organic. And as Billy started going up, the light was making a sound, on and off sound from inside the tower. But then Billy noticed that the tower also went down and that it wasn't stairs. It was more of a ramp going down into the earth. And then Billy heard the sound of crunching carrots and a twitching, and then even like a sound of a beak closing. And Billy looked up, and because the tower was, the sound traveled so strange, Billy like said, oh boy, I'm not sure I enjoy these sounds. And so Billy said, it's time for me to not sing a sign song anymore. And said, take me home. And so then Billy woke back up on the waterbed. And she said, but Dr. Max and the team of scientists or whatever, lab coat wearing people, were taking tons of notes and saying, oh boy, that is a lot of information we just learned about this. Holy mackerel, this is interesting stuff, really important stuff for us to write down. Great job, Billy. And Billy said, I need to sleep. And Billy clutched the stuffed, which with irony, I tell you now, is a stuffed bunny, and went and fell deep, deep asleep and rested. And that's where we'll leave off for right now, with Billy sound asleep. So nice and cozy. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. Elizabeth, Andre, and John, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Judy, Alexandra, and Michelle, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Catherine, Scott, and Roshan, thanks, and good night. Gwen, Michael, and Courtney, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Noah, Mary, and Karina, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Don, Angela, and Claire, thank you. Thanks, good night. Susan, Rama, and Todd, thank you. Thanks, good night. Nicole, Steve, and Laura, thank you. Thanks, good night. Hope, Ryan, and Kyle, thank you. Thanks, good night. And Carl, Allison, and Lisa, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Thanks everybody for supporting the show, and Sleep With Me exists because of the people that support the show on Patreon and the people that support the sponsors. I really appreciate being able to bring you the show twice a week. Thanks to their support. And then a free way to support the show is spread the word, whether it's online or in person. Whenever podcasts come up, talk about podcasts in general, talk about how to find podcasts, and share about Sleep With Me. That's how the show's always grown. I really appreciate that. And speaking of spreading the word, here's something I want you to know about. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, yeah, like that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, yeah, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. or and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.